Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Good to be with you again. We do appreciate every time you tune in to hear our show. And we ask you to please visit our sponsors, tell them that you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call, and thank them for sponsoring us. All right, tonight we've got a big crew again. We've got Melissa.
Hello.
We've got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
We've got Pete Benton.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be here.
Hal James.
Hey there, y'all.
Rainer James.
Hey.
And we have Doug Gould.
Hey there.
Now, in case you haven't listened too often, we are very fortunate to have the panel that we have. We have a wealth of knowledge across many, many fields, and that's Doug.
It sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
Let's say we have 1, 2, 3, 4 veterans here, served proudly in our U.S. military. We're proud of them and thank them for their service. Bob,
thank you.
Bob, give us a little brief history of your background.
A short time in the Navy and out of Quonset, Rhode Island, two different squadrons chasing submarines through the North Atlantic.
And your most recent assignment is Mary Schoffer.
Is Mary Schoffer, yes.
Well, Schoffer and CCTA's treasurer.
Yes.
He keeps the money, and that's really important.
Well, he's got to have something to keep, so folks.
We sure appreciate our sponsors.
Yeah. CCTaxpayers.com, upper left-hand corner, donate button. If you want to help Bob out, keep his job. We appreciate it. And Mary Griswold is rightwinggranny.com. This is a conservative blog, and she shares the best of what's out there. She has several thousand hits a day on her blog. She's no amateur at this. She's been doing it for a while, and she's very popular out there in the blogosphere. So visit rightwinggranny.com, and Mary, we thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Brief description.
Originally from Havelock, I'm a Craven County boy. Served in the U.S. Navy on USS Forrestal right at the end of Vietnam. Matter of fact, my cousin who resides here in New Bern was on it when it burned in the Gulf of Tonkin. Mm-hmm. Went on to serve in the U.S. Air Force, of course, under Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Had 33 total years of service to God and country, and it was a blessing each and every day.
Thank you. Thank you. Hal.
Well, I joined the National Guard when I was 17 years old, and twice I've sworn to defend the country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, because as an enlisted person, you have to swear that oath, but you have to swear it again when you become an officer. So in both times. I spent 7 years enlisted, and then I went to Officers Canada School and rose through the ranks. I started out as a private, of course, and when I was placed in retirement, I was placed in retirement as a Brigadier General. I didn't ever go overseas. I wanted to very much. I particularly wanted to be in the Kuwaiti Freedom Battle. But by that time, I had too much education, I guess. I was a graduate of the University of Virginia School of Civil Engineering, and when I put in my application to go on active duty, they thanked me for it and said, "You're going straight to the Pentagon." So I went to the Pentagon, and I served in the as a deputy director for the Division of Engineering and Facilities up there. And for 3 months, I was actually the chief of that division. So I'm real proud of my service. I don't know whether I've mentioned it, but the total time was 43 years, 4 months, and 10 days.
But who's counting?
Exactly.
And beside you is your wife, Rainer James.
Does she put up with all that stuff, too?
Yeah, I don't know how. I'm going to tell you what.
I tell you what. Hal made one trip to the emergency room with one of our sons. They went many times more than that.
Well, Rainer is the chair of our Legislative Action Committee.
Co-chair with Gladys Sussel.
Right. And she also helps put together the CCTA page that you find in the County Compass newspaper. with the help of Connie Hanna and many of our other members that submit articles and information there. So
Connie is a stalwart. Her Trump report card has been the anchor of the page from the beginning, some 4 years ago.
I'd like to mention that Raina was the editor of the of Washington Business Review, Washington, D.C. So she was an editor long before she got into CCTA and was a wonderful editor, if I do say so. She was also the first president of the Washington, D.C. chapter of the International Association of Financial Planners. So she's got wonderful credentials to do what she does for CCTA.
Well, you're a little bit biased, so we don't know whether to believe it.
Okay. He is, but I love it.
And finally, over here, we have Doug Gould. And Doug has recently, because of his background in cybersecurity and computer systems and a wealth of other things with his experience, has been invited to Mike Lindell's Cybersecurity Symposium to be held August 10th through 12th. So, Doug, tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, let's see. I started out in the Navy many years ago. I was in naval intelligence and electronic warfare communications, and then I left Navy and I went into the Naval Research Laboratory in Pennsylvania, shortly followed by getting stolen away by Bell Labs, and I spent 14 years at Bell Labs as a scientist and moved on ultimately coming back to AT&T, and I was the chief cybersecurity strategist for AT&T. Retired last year, and now I'm the chief technical officer for Cyber Team US. Among other things, I was one of the pioneers of the field of computer forensics, and so I'm really excited about getting invited to the Lindell Cyber Symposium. There are many questions in my mind, many things I want to find out, and when I come back, I should have some interesting stories to tell.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show. Okay, and I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I started in the tobacco field working when I was 14 years old, and I've been working all my life since then, because when you get married at 18, and by the time you're 25, you're raising five kids.
no other option.
You need to work for a living. At least the way I was raised, you needed to work for a living. I have five healthy children, 14 healthy grandchildren. After Prime and Tobacco, I went to work for a number of small businesses, and then I ended up at the TV station for a few years. From there, I went to Executone, intercoms, and telephone systems. And from there, I went to Naval Air Station Cherry Point, working for the Nav Air Systems there. Retired after 32 and a half years as an IT specialist. So that's your CCTA Wake Up Call panel. And folks, besides all of those things that you've heard about each one of us tonight, the most important thing is we are all God-fearing Christians that believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are all true American patriots. As Hal mentioned, they have taken the oath. We have all taken an oath to uphold our Constitution and to give up our all for it. So we're proud to serve in any way we can as a grassroots activist group, and we hope you will join us, Bob.
Rick, I just want to add that, and again, we're all here to protect and defend the Constitution as written, not necessarily as interpreted by some of the current press or the current political schemes, but as it's written. It was written as a healthy document.
I agree, Bob, but one of the things that I think we do sometimes is when there is discussion, instead of looking to precedent as established in the court system, look to the writings of the founders, the authors of the Declaration at the time they are doing it, and trust them to expand on what they meant by it.
Agreed. As you're saying, that not only is the Constitution there, but there's also the Federalist Papers, and there's mm-hmm. all sorts of background papers as to why they came up with those decisions.
And the Declaration of Independence states things that were wrong, and the Constitution speaks to that as well.
Okay, folks, we'll get into some more of that interesting conversation, but I'd like to point out that one of the main tenets of CCTA is education, and you can take that two ways. We are passionate about our public education system and trying to correct the woes and the wrongs that we see there. We've had several of our members have run for school board, so we put our money where our mouth is. They get out there, they work hard to help get right people elected, and some of us run for office. And we have our past chairman, was State Representative Michael Speciale, and the co-chair was
Senator Marks, Norm Sanderson.
Right, Norm Sanderson, North Carolina Senator. So, folks, that's to tell you a little bit about CCTA, who we are and what we do. And now we're going to go to a break to hear from our sponsors. And I'd like to mention a special thank you to Jeff Adelette of the County Compass newspaper, because Jeff has been very generous to us in giving us plenty of coverage in the County Compass newspaper, and we appreciate all that he does. So listen to these ads from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Melissa, what's the most important topic you can think of right now that you'd like to talk about?
Deception, corruption. Lies.
Is that a confession? Or?
That's just what I feel is being thrown at me every single day on the news.
Well, you want to elaborate on that?
Well, you just don't, you know, masks don't work. Masks do work. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask outside. Wear a mask inside. Wear two masks. The vaccine, you must get it. We must get it to control the virus. Well, you got the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask. You still have to socially distance. And by the way, you can still get the virus. You can still spread the virus. I mean, there's just so much disinformation out there. It's really disheartening to...
A number of positive tests are going up, yet the inventor of the test said the test was never intended to be a test for viruses. And it's proven there a high number of false positives on the test. Mm-hmm. And ironically now, the Delta variant.
Yes.
The Delta variant is rampant according to the test. Well, the test wasn't made to test the Delta variant.
And the test, someone please explain this to me, correct me if I'm wrong. When I go to get tested at my local doctor, does the test say Delta variant?
No.
Does it distinguish between? Because that's the local news is now saying the Delta variant has shown up locally.
But what's happening to the death rate? Why are we getting all in a stew?
I would like to point out, I check the Craven County COVID statistics periodically. And according to July 30th, there were 6 people hospitalized with COVID. Okay, fine. But they also listed in the county we had 130 deaths. Well, a few weeks ago we had 189 deaths. So I don't know what happened to those 69 people who died. What happened here? But 130 deaths in a year and a half of an epidemic is hardly an epidemic.
All right. Well, one of the things to answer your question is it's been widely proven, if you go out and do the research, that a lot of the deaths that were originally attributed to coronavirus were not actually from coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. I remember one that was a motorcycle accident.
Yeah. Yes. So that's why there's been some lawsuits. One, I think it was a motorcycle accident. Her son was killed in an accident, and she's suing now because they listed on the death certificate that coronavirus.
Bless her.
So, you know.
There was a cartoon a while back, and it was a woman being interviewed in a police station by the policeman sitting at the desk and another policeman standing around. And she says to the policeman at the desk, "My husband died of natural causes." And the policeman at the desk says, "You pushed him off the roof." And she said, "Gravity is natural." And the policeman says, "Mark it down as a COVID death."
Well, I'd like to remind everybody to think back to when this all began. There was a leader of some small third world nation, I can't remember who it was, but it was prevalent in the news at the time, who had the test performed on a banana, I believe it was. Remember right. that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the
yes.
test came back positive?
I remember that.
Okay. What do you do with a banana that's been isolated?
Well, I think they need to pull them all off the shelves because obviously the bananas could be causing the virus.
Well, I don't know. I think it's the pudding that you put the bananas in. Actually, you know, one point I want to remind folks of is that there was a doctor in California who got 1,500 COVID tests that had all been indicated positive. So 1,500 positive tests, and he took them into the laboratory, and he found that 94% of them were influenza A, 6% of them were influenza B. And of 1,500 people who were told that they had COVID, there was not one single case of COVID. So remember the misdirection that's going on with all of this, the misreporting, the fact that hospitals are getting $4,000 for an ordinary death, but $13,000 for a COVID death.
There you go.
And somebody somewhere is raking that extra money off by putting one little checkbox on the form to indicate every death a COVID death, but the tests themselves are part of the fraud. Yeah. And somebody told me last week, oh, well, you know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine isn't a modified messenger RNA vaccine. Yeah, but it has a transgene in it. I've got the FDA approval document, and it's right in there. They are playing with your genetics. They're creating an S1 spike just like they are with messenger RNA. So don't give me that. There's so much misinformation out here.
Absolutely. And folks, we implore you, please do not take anything you hear us say on this show for granted. We want you to go out and verify it. And if you can prove that what one of us is saying is not true or factual, because we try to fact check everything we do, we will pay you $1 million Monopoly dollars.
There you go.
I caught my breath there for a minute.
Actually, if you have a question, hit the response section on our page, ask the question, and we'll get back to you with an answer.
Absolutely. There's a feedback button on cctaxpayers.com, and if you want to query one of the people here on the panel about something they've said, please use that option.
And I'll be glad to provide references for all the stuff that I'm providing.
All right. Well, y'all are using up all Melissa's time, so Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, to Doug's point, which I totally agree, when you're analyzing a particular situation, you want to look at the motives, okay? And in this particular case, we have a major health and pandemic crisis, okay? That being said, who benefits and who stands to gain? Quite simple.
Good point. Now, I don't have it here in front of me, so I don't want to misquote it, but I'll give you what I can remember. When this pandemic started, there was one person that was worth over $100 billion, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are 9.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those other 8 made that wealth off of this pandemic. Now, think about that. Okay, Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Are you finished?
Well, I just, you know, I was talking about this with my son earlier. You know, one of the greatest disservices is what's being done to our children. They are confused and they're scared and they've never seen anything like this before, where what they're hearing from the government, the experts, is so totally different from what they're hearing from home. And they're scared and nervous. And, you know, I told him about follow the money, that when all of those doctors got together and they went to D.C. and stood on those steps and said, hydroxychloroquine works, ivermectin works, I have treated patient after patient after patient, none of them have been to the ICU. And now you cannot find that video. They have been banned. They have been, the media tried to ruin them. And think, what did they have to gain from doing that? What did they have to gain? That no one was paying them to do that. They could have lost their practices. They could have lost their jobs from their hospitals. You know, the media went after them. They knew what they were up against. And they did it because they took an oath to serve people, to save lives. And that's why they did that. And the reason why they are not being heard from, and the remdesivir, you know what I'm trying to say, is what is it, a couple of $1,000 for that treatment. And there you go, follow the money. And, you know, that made a lot of sense to him, but there's a lot of people who aren't talking to their kids about that.
Why is it that we are so focused on the vaccine and not the treatments? Mm-hmm. What's the end game here? How much money is made on the vaccine versus the treatments?
All right.
You know, Mary, there's that group of doctors out of Baylor in Dallas, Texas. I can't think of his name. Starts with Mick something.
McConnell, is it?
Yeah. That has a group of doctors, and they are treating early, and they're doing telemedicine. So there is an avenue for people, no matter where they live, to get early treatment, and that has such good results. People don't die when they're treated early.
Well, I've been told that hydroxychloroquine is generic and enough to cure corona. It's cost about $20. So the pharma companies are not making profit on that. And the head of the FDA, who was one of Fauci's classmates, banned hydroxychloroquine. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to find out if he's invested financially in remdesivir.
All right. Well, we're going to have to move on or somebody's not going to get a turn. excellent points. Thank you, Melissa. You know, science was mentioned. I'd like to point out, you know, if you put all your faith in science instead of putting it in our Creator, you're going to miss out sometimes. Let's remember, science proved to us that Pluto was a planet. Until just recently, they proved to us that Pluto wasn't a planet.
He's a dog at Disney.
And now it's back to Pluto's a planet again, I believe. So, and if you'll go back through history, you'll find out that there are many scientists on each side of the fence. They don't always agree, okay? And I don't care if our current president, Joe Biden, says, do you want the truth or the facts? Yeah. Folks are both the same.
Yeah. Sometimes we just are not really sure.
Right. If the truth and the facts don't match up, then one of them is lying. Bob, what's your topic?
Oh, now all my thunder's been stolen. No, what I want to add is a very, very short topic. Is apparently the AMA?
Yes.
The American Medical Association has decided now that you should not declare newborns as male or female. That you should allow them to make their own decision. I mean, they will pass on a statistic that says that in theory you were male or female at birth, but now let everybody make their design.
It's not on their birth certificate.
Their designer gender later on. I mean, chromosomes don't make any difference now.
I guess they could always put on there person with testicles or person without, or I don't know.
Looks like we're getting back to
I think that's the way
the basics.
That's the way the doctors always determined it in the past.
Yeah, I know. Follow the science is going crazy.
Getting hard to do.
When our second boy was born, the doctor came in and said, it's a boy. And I said, I was so out of it. I said, are you sure? He said, well, I've seen a lot of them. I wasn't sure we were going to have a girl. I don't know why.
Okay, Mary.
I want to talk about what is labeled as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act.
That's a good topic. And it's going to take a little while, so let's take a break real quick, and we'll come back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the first segment and the conversation and the topics there. Mary, tell us again what your topic is.
We're going to talk about the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act.
Does it have anything to do with infrastructure?
Actually, it does, but there are three things I want to point out about. The bill directs Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg to establish a pilot program to demonstrate a national motor vehicle per mile user fee.
Yeah.
In other words, you're going to be taxed not how much gas you buy, but how many miles you drive. So that's one aspect of it. Then there's another aspect where Joe Manchin's wife, Gail Manchin, who is the co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission, her budget was like tripled within the bill. So we know there's nothing going on there.
Is that a bribe, perhaps?
Of course not.
Do you think they'll drop the tax on gas?
And then the other part that I wanted to mention, there's a website called Zero Hedge. And mostly their investment stuff, but they have good stuff here. And they pointed out that this infrastructure spending package has been thrown into further disarray because lawmakers filed nearly 300 amendments to the legislation. So this thing is, it's almost 3,000 pages now. It is going to be a mess by the time they get done with it. And there will be some infrastructure in it, but it is paving the way for incredible deficits and incredible spending on things that we shouldn't be spending money on.
Those are good points. I'd like to point out another one that I think is more critical and more important than any of that, if you can get more important. Some of the heads of some of the departments have been directed to establish new departments overseeing more regulation over certain areas in this bill. And that's very dangerous because once those departments, those when you create new government departments,
they never go away.
And there's dozens of them in there from what I understand.
The secret to eternal life is being a government department.
Yeah. Pete?
If I can take just a minute, I want to quote a letter June 7th, 2020 from Father Carlo Maria Vigano to President Trump. "Mr. President, in recent months, we've been witnessing the formation of two opposing sides that I would call biblical, the children of the light and the children of the darkness. The children of the light constitute the most conspicuous part of humanity, while the children of darkness represent an absolute minority. And yet the former are the object of a sort of discrimination which places them in a situation of moral inferiority with respect to their adversaries." And he goes on to say, "who often hold strategic positions in government, in politics, in the economy, and the media. In an apparently inexplicable way, the good are being held hostage by the wicked and by those who would help them out of self-interest or fearfulness. These two sides, which have a biblical nature, follow the clear separation between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. On the one hand, there are those who, although they have a thousand defects and weaknesses, are motivated by a desire to do good, to be honest, to raise a family, to engage in work, to give prosperity to their own land, and to help the needy in obedience to the law of God to merit the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, there are those who serve themselves, who do not hold any moral principles, who want to demolish the family and the nation, exploit the workers to make themselves unduly wealthy, foment internal divisions and wars, and accumulate power and money. For them, the fallacious illusion of temporal well-being will one day, if they do not repent, yield to the terrible fate that awaits them far from God in eternal damnation. We're in a major spiritual warfare for the soul of America. It is time for all good, God-fearing, patriotic Americans to stand tall and stand proud and fight."
You're absolutely right, Pete, and I'm glad you brought that up because, folks, it's up to you. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to let your life be ruled and controlled by fear or by faith? And I can tell you in the end what's going to win, and it's not going to be the fear, okay? Now, you've been created perfectly. And you've been created for a purpose. And you need to find what your purpose is, and you need to stand tall with that and be fearless. God calls us to be fearless. If you're going to win a battle, you can't go into it afraid you're going to lose it already. You need to go into it confident of the outcome. And if you'll open the Holy Scriptures and go to the very end, you can see what the outcome's going to be. Now, which side are you going to choose? Are you going to serve fear, or are you going to live in faith? And that's about all I can say about that. You are absolutely right. It's time, people, to take a stand. We're not outnumbered. We're just outspoken, okay? We have been way too silent, way too long, and we've accepted too much because we didn't think it could get any worse. How many times have you said it can't get any worse than this? But it has. And it's going to continue to until we, the people of the United States of America, stand on the freedoms that were handed and passed down to us by our founding fathers, given to us by our Almighty God, our Creator. They're inalienable rights. They can't be taken away from us. Okay?
Only if we give them away.
The freedoms we have didn't come to us through laws that were passed through legislature.
Came from God.
They came from God. Now, laws have been passed to help to protect those freedoms. And the Constitution is there to protect the freedoms. The First Amendment didn't give us the freedom of speech. We already had that. It didn't give us the freedom to bear arms in the Second Amendment and defend ourselves. We already had that. Those amendments were put there to protect those rights that came from God and to keep this corruption that we see now, to keep these socialists, communists, however you want to label them, they love labels, these evil people from trying to take away those God-given rights and destroy our country. And folks, you need to wake up, and that's why this is called Wake Up Call. We're trying to provide you with information and sources that you can stand tall and battle it.
One final note from President Ronald Reagan, certainly one of the greatest in the history of this country. There are no easy answers, but there are simple answers. We must have the courage to do what we know is morally right. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We will preserve for our children this last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. For this, my fellow Americans, is the challenge we face today.
Thank you, Pete, for that. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, and next is Hal. And I don't know if y'all want to tag team or not, but we'll get to Hal and Raider. I kind of expected that, Rainer. So anyway, take time to listen to these messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal James, what have you got to talk about?
Well, you remember earlier I mentioned the pledge to support and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, we're under attack. I mean, terrible attack from both sides. Foreign, we have this assault, biological assault, I guess you would call it, from China. And all of us are terribly concerned about that. But domestically, I think we have more danger from within, actually, than we have from that, if that's possible at all. Because we have the problems of what's going on in our schools, this CRT that's being taught. On a state level, I saw that the Epic Times put out information about Broward County, Florida, suing their school district because they were doing explicit sex teaching to children. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it? But they said that sexually explicit material to children is as young as 4 years of age.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. And this says this should be a roadmap for North Carolina for counties to sue. Well, we haven't gotten that far in Craven County, but we did have one local meeting for the Board of Commissioners in which a huge crowd showed up. They held it over in the convention center because they knew the crowd would be so big they couldn't meet in their usual meeting place. And enough people came there. They were each given 3 minutes to speak before a decision was to be made. And it took over 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And the speeches were almost equally divided, I think, pro and con. But at any rate, many of us came and gave our opinions on it. I think the main objection that the people were given was that the county really doesn't have any authority to tell the school board what to teach in schools. And when it was all over, George Liner gave what I thought was a brilliant amendment to that resolution that they were considering, which said basically that they would encourage the state of North Carolina's General Assembly to come down hard on CRT being caught in North Carolina schools. To me, that was a very sensible way to handle it because it got away from the objection of the county telling the school board what to teach in the schools or the teachers, and it got by that objection, but it also put a strong statement down that the Craven County Board of Commissioners was against CRT being taught in schools, but they went.
And its citizens.
And its citizens.
It spoke for us, yeah.
Right. So I think that was very good. Also on a national level, and I hope we'll hear a lot from Doug, you know that Mike Lindell said that he had some packets that would show exactly what was done during the last election. And, of course, Doug has been invited to attend this symposium that's going to take place August 10th, 11th, and 12th. And at a great expense to Doug to get there and do that, I'm taking all of his equipment with him too, so he can analyze things, and he, Lord knows, he's got the expertise to do that. So I'm just grateful that here in CCTA we've got people who stand up for what's right and strong enough to get up and fight.
I agree, Hal, and I thank you for that because I too attended that meeting.
Yes, you did.
It appeared that there was a very well-orchestrated effort from the opposition.
Absolutely.
They had petitions from over 1,000 people, but I kind of like to ask how many times each one of them was run through the machine.
Henry Higgins.
Well, they go through various organizations like their churches,
right,
and things like that.
They are very good at organizing things like that and getting petitions together and all, and that's why it's so important for we, the people, the patriots that were in support of this to stand up and be heard. We were heard.
Yes, we were.
We were heard by emails. The emails from us outnumbered the emails from them. Not petition necessarily, but emails, phone calls, and in-person contact. We came out victorious, and I'm glad that we did. Nobody was there to say we do not want to teach history.
Mm-mm.
That was a point they kept. Why would you not want to teach it? We do. We want to teach the true history, accurate history. We're all for teaching the good, the bad, the ugly, all sides of history. We're not ashamed of it. We did some bad things. We didn't, but our ancestors did. But that's historically, since the Garden of Eden, that stuff's gone on.
I'd like to quickly add that a lot of us were speaking in such a way to show that we weren't critical, that we weren't racist, that we weren't down on the races that we're not in, you know, whatever. That we wanted all of us to be living brotherly love. And I think that point was made very well from many of the speakers.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Hal. Now we're going to move on to Rainer. And Rainer, hold on, I'm going to put the clock on you. All right? So.
I'm going to put the clock on you next all time. Right.
I've got the mute button over here.
Okay, I'm ill-equipped.
Well, go ahead, fire.
Okay, I said I wasn't going to tag team, but I actually am. I want to me, what goes on in schools, for years it was under the radar, but for years we have been teaching our students against America. They felt like they had critical mass, and it's come out in the open with this critical race theory. But I have been mulling over what happened, what various people said at that meeting Monday night, and I've come to some, what to me is interesting conclusions. I think almost everybody who spoke on both sides were sincere. They meant what they were saying. But we were talking by each other. People on the who were against negativity about critical race theory often spoke in terms of my truth. Well, in my mind, I think in all our minds, there is the truth. Mm-hmm. But I got to thinking, each of us has different life experiences. My life experiences aren't the same as Melissa's. Melissa's aren't the same as Mary's. Mary's aren't the same as yours, Rick. That those life experiences, whether they're benign or whether they are extremely bad, rough things that happen from childhood to children who aren't protected by parents, color their view of the world. I think what we were hearing was this group of people sees the world through the lens of this critical race theory. Well, there are other segments of the population who see the world through a different lens. And that's all fine and good, but there is a truth about what is happening now and what has happened in the past. What we would like to see done is have the balanced version of the truth that takes all points of view into account taught, not seeing everything through the lens of, if you're this race, you're racist, you can't be otherwise. That's not true, that's ridiculous. Or if you're this race, you can't achieve success in life because the world and the deck and the systems are all stacked against you with this systemic racism. That's ridiculous, it's not true. So we were all speaking what we thought was the truth. Some of us were mistaken, some of us were not, and I wish we could somehow get our view across that the sky's the limit. Our goal here is to create a country in which everybody has wide open opportunity and nobody is denied it.
Excellent points. I think you know, you're right on target. It's amazing to me how all the people in that room pretty much had the same goal, and that's the welfare and the future of our children and their education, and that they get a proper, truthful education. Both sides, I think, were for that. But it's hard for me to understand and figure out. Most of them there would also claim to be Christian. Okay? Now, God created the man and woman. He created us all equal, okay? And his greatest commandment is for us to love one another. Now, if God did all those things, how did he create all these racists? Because if you're a racist, that goes against all those commandments, all those tenets of the Bible. God created us to love one another, not to hate one another. The hate one another message is coming from the fear mongers out there that want to divide us.
Yes, it is.
And control us. And it's time for people to wake up and realize, just because this person over here says it's true doesn't make it true. Do your own fact checking. Don't trust Facebook to do it for you. Don't trust Twitter to do it. Don't trust us to do it for you. Do it yourself.
Just real quick on that, I'm going to take it a little bit different direction. That from what you're, that side, the opposing side, they were younger, mostly younger people. And I heard something interesting today, that the division in this country, TikTok is owned by China, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. TikTok is the most popular app for young children right now.
Oh my gosh.
Under 25 and under. And they are on it so often. And someone pointed out, you know, if I'm an enemy country and I have the attention of your young people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear heavens.
And the propaganda that they're putting through and the commercials. And look at how many young people now, they have no patriotism. They hate America. They think America should, you know, should totally reinvent itself because of its horrible past. And think about where they're getting that propaganda from.
We had pretty much done that before Barack Obama became president. We were there. When he became president, I thought at least everybody's going to realize the sky's the limit. There are no limitations in America. Well, he sold us down the tubes by making out like it wasn't true when it was. And then eventually it wasn't true again. There were people being tugged against each other for no good reason.
Right.
Which is tragic.
Well, thank you for bringing those points up, Melissa. That is a good point that you just made. I heard something today. Now, I can't tell you the name of the cartoon because I don't watch them.
Watching cartoons, Rick?
Yeah.
But relevant to what you were saying, they have found out that a lot of the young school children, because of the COVID and being home, watch this particular cartoon so much that they are now speaking with a British accent because the main character in the cartoon...
Peppa Pig,
that's it, yes. They've watched so much of Peppa Pig, they are now speaking with a British accent. So that shows you the influence that has over people. All right, Doug, we saved you some time because you've got one of the most important topics we want to hear about. Let's hear about your upcoming trip to the cybersecurity symposium, unless you have something else you'd rather talk about.
Well, I've got a bunch of random thoughts, and I'll throw them in here and there. But when we go to the cybersecurity symposium next week, there are a couple of things I'm going to be looking for. I think it's important for everybody to understand, you know, we talk about the technology and banter terms around like packet capture and so forth. A packet is nothing more than an organized set of data, and we send it across an electronic medium. Now, the interesting thing about packets is there is a standard, and you count the number of bytes from the beginning of the packet. The first 4 bytes mean this, the second 4 mean that, the next 8 mean something else, the next 2 mean something else. And it's really very simple. We look at the standard, and it says, you know, in this field, what does A mean? What does B mean? What does C mean? And we look to see whether we have an A, B, or C, and that's the meaning. Now, there's no room for, you know, feel-good interpretation. It's very factual. It's a dictionary lookup. So that's the easy part of decoding the data. The hard part of decoding the data, and I think one of the parts that is a bit misleading, if you look at all the stuff about the cyber conference, Mike Lindell has offered a $5 million prize for anybody who can prove that the data is not authentic. Well, it is possible to create data like that. I've done it in the process of teaching engineers how to troubleshoot computer networks. Two computers, 2 routers, they're talking to each other, and I teach the guys how to connect to the network and snoop and look at the packets going across. And of course, we look at what computer A is saying to computer B and how computer B is answering it. And sometimes they don't answer correctly because there's a mistake in the programming. And so network engineers will change the programming and make it work. And we use these packet analyzers to be able to do that. So I think that part of it is relatively straightforward. It requires some engineering knowledge, sure, but that's not so hard to do, and it's really a dictionary. We're looking at the decoder ring. We're decoding what it means. What's really important here, and I think we've lost a little bit of sight of it, for information to become evidence that's usable in court, we have to do 2 things. First thing we have to do is prove that it's authentic. So we authenticate the evidence. And we do that by understanding where it was collected, who collected it, how it was collected, How is important? Because we want to make sure that the proper engineering and scientific methods were used, why it was collected, how it was authorized, and so forth. So that authentication of the data is critical. It's absolutely critical. There are only a few places in the country where we can actually see the data from foreign countries going to all 50 states. Other places, you go into an ISP, you only see what the ISP sees. You don't have the complete view of the whole internet. There are only a few places in the country. So we're going to look for that. We're going to also look at whether or not the data was handled properly. So when that information is received, a person has to sign a record for it. They have to indicate how they cared for it and how they protected the data and be able to testify that nothing changed. And that's called a chain of custody document. So if we can authenticate the evidence, if we can authenticate the information and provide a chain of custody on it, then it rises to the level of evidence. And this you can find, if you want to look it up, go look up the Federal Rules of Evidence. It's a huge book that lawyers study. And it tells you all about authentication and chain of custody. Once we have evidence, decoding the information is the simple part. And I believe that the information that's already been provided, that is, that China, among others, attacked our voting systems during the election. I believe that that is true, and from the number of people who've looked at it, if they've put their credibility on the line and it's not true, there are a lot of people that are going down. So I think I'm looking forward to finding out what the truth is and analyzing what happened, and we'll also try to get a copy of the data. I don't expect that's going to be possible, but we're going to try. Again, they're trying to safeguard it as evidence, so there may be a number of reasons why I can't do that. But if I can, we'll have even more information to tell you about when I get back.
We're looking forward to your successful trip and hope when you get back you could be able to share a lot of information with us. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of CCTA Wake Up Call. Hope you've enjoyed it. Visit cctaxpayers.com for more information about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we'll see you here again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m. and some days at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1, The Talk Station.